It's Marketplace Tech for March 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The battle over encryption and access to an iPhone is taking center stage in Washington, D.C. this week. Senators have introduced legislation that would create a so-called National Commission on Security and Technology Challenges. Meanwhile, in the House, a Judiciary Committee has been grilling FBI Director James Comey.
Let's assume that you can make an infinite number of copies once you make one copy, right?
I have no idea.
They also questioned Apple's legal team.
Well, how long is the debate going to last?
I can't anticipate that, Congressman.
Andrea Peterson is at the Washington Post and has been closely watching the testimony. She's here to walk us through it all. Andrea, it actually seemed like strong encryption and support for Apple's position was almost bipartisan at moments.
Yeah, you know, it's really one of those issues that doesn't cut across traditional party lines. You see support, especially from libertarian parts of the Republican Party and from some Democrats and, you know, not from some Democrats.
What jumped out at you from Comey's testimony?
One of the interesting shifts that we've been seeing with Comey is that earlier on, he was very insistent, you know, this is one phone, this is one case. And he's still saying that, but he's also sort of acknowledging that, well, we would also, if we were successful here, want to do this with other phones that we can't unlock.
A bit of an admission there, right?
Yeah, it's certainly, I think, an evolution in his public statements. It's an acknowledgement that while this particular legal case would be about this one phone, this is something that the government certainly feels like it has an interest in doing in other cases.
What jumped out at you from the Apple team's testimony?
Really, it's the same thing of, you know, if we do this once, the tool's going to be out there. They're going to ask for us to do it again. And we think that it undermines the security of all iPhone users.
Andrea Peterson is a technology and policy reporter at The Washington Post. Andrea, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Day laborers working in the U.S., especially undocumented day laborers, face challenges every day. One of the biggest, not getting paid. A new smartphone app is geared towards helping workers face those challenges. Charles Zhang is CEO of the web and mobile development company Rebel Idealist, which is developing the app called Jornalero. It means day laborer in Spanish.
We want to make this app simple yet habit-forming. They would be able to, you know, report, you know, I work with certain employers for this amount of money for this week, but on Friday, he did not pay me.
The app requires picture taking and GPS, which only work on smartphones, not flip phones.
To start with, we're beginning with iOS and Android, and both apps will be in Spanish and English.
It's possible future versions will include text message alert systems for flip phones. The app is rolling out this spring, first in New York, but founders hope to make it available all over the country. A few years ago on this show, I interviewed Gil Weinberg, the founding director of Georgia Tech's Center for Music Technology. He was working on a prosthetic arm for a drummer. Even back then, though, Weinberg was focused on the idea that prosthetics didn't have to replace something that was missing from a regular musician's skill set. Well, now he's made something new. It's a smart, wearable robotic arm that attaches to the shoulder of the player and serves as an additional limb. Gil Weinberg joins me now to talk about this. Gil, the way this works is the drummer is wearing a headband that's monitoring brainwaves?
So the headband is the beginning of a process. The way the arm currently works, it has two main aspects. One is what drum to play or where to go. And the other is what it plays, what actually to hit on the drum.
So like cymbal versus snare and then quarter notes versus 16th notes.
Exactly. Now, what to play, that is based on the music. So it listens to the music, it understands the BPM, the beat. It understands if the rhythm is fast or slow, dense or sparse, stable or unstable. And based on that, it improvises.
What do you see as the future of this?
I hope that this kind of technology can be used for many other scenarios, not only music. If you have a smart arm that actually understands the environment, both from vision and audio and sensors, and actually complements you and augment you and kind of know what you want to do, hopefully with brain reading as well, you would be able to do much more. Just a simple scenario would be maybe a surgeon that instead of having other people giving the stuff that he needs, you have his own arm just by moving a little bit the shoulder, the arm knows where to go, maybe even operate in the long future.
Mm-hmm.
Or even simpler scenarios, you paint a wall and the arm knows what you paint because you use your human arms, it understands this, and does the same throughout the extension of the wall, helping you hopefully do stuff much faster. But for me in music, I really want to push the improvisation and the kind of music that the arm will play with you, that will really push your understanding of music and how you interact with music and maybe create music that could have never been played by humans.
What kind of other functionalities do you imagine for this?
The concept of having it on other parts of the body is research. It's not so much commercialization. Maybe put it on the leg. It can maybe hit the bass drum or do other things.
I think shaker, I'm thinking egg shaker could be
right.
Good. Yeah.
Give me more cowbell. And for me, the more interesting aspect is actually to come up with really interesting rhythms and sophisticated algorithms that will analyze what you want and also add some surprising element in a way that when you listen to this, you will think, I've never heard such music. This is something new and unique.
Gil Weinberg is the director of the Center for Music Technology at Georgia Tech. He oversees the Robot Arm Project. Gil, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.